That's okay.
Okay, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, which is Christelle. Did I say that right? It's right here.
Okay.
Say your name. Christelle, is that right?
Yep, Christelle
Perrault.
Yeah.
Okay, from, where are you from? You're from France, but what institution?
Latmos.
Yeah. Laboratory of Atmospheres, right? Polar Mesospheric Clouds, Observations from GOMOS and VSAT, Climatology, and Recent Results.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk about my work about the polar mesospheric clouds from GOMOS data. So it will be a very general talk about the main results I've obtained from GOMOS data. So first of all, I will briefly present GOMOS and VSAT stellar occultation instrument. Then I will present my retrieval algorithm, so the PMC detection algorithm and the retrieval of their main properties. I will then talk about the obtained climatology for the Nautilus and cloud. And I will finally focus my talk about the spectral analysis of the cloud and the particle size retrieval. So GOMOS is the acronym of Global Ozone Monitoring by Occultation of Stars. It's part of the European mission Envisat. So launched in 2002, this satellite follows the Sun synchronous orbit, where the main characteristics are written here. And GOMOS, the instrument GOMOS, was designed to monitor ozone in the whole middle atmosphere using the technique of stellar occultation. So this technique has many advantages, and above all, it allows a very accurate altitude retrieval, but also a very good geographical and temporal coverage, because we have really a lot of measurements. And it also allows, so it's the particularity of GOMOS, it allows observation at various local times. So the instrument is constituted by a star pointing system, by four spectrometers with a very wide spectral range, and also by two fast photometers. And we will see now that the PMC detection and the retrieval of their main properties can be done by using exclusively these fast photometers. So these photometers are characterized by a very high sampling frequency and a very good vertical resolution. One of them measures in the blue wavelength region and the other in the red. And you can see on this figure the geometry of GOMOS photometers measurements during daytime. So GOMOS looks at various stars while the platform is moving along its orbit. And the telescope captures the star at a tangent height around 150 kilometers, looks to it, and follows it down to about 10 kilometers. So we obtain this kind of vertical profile. So the tangent altitude is plotted as a function of the intensity detected. It's recorded by the photometers. And by night, the signal corresponds only to the light of the stars. But during daytime, the solar light scattered by the atmospheric molecules is also measured. And in the case where polar mesospheric clouds is present along the line of sight, we obtain this kind of profile. So the peaks here are due to the scattering of solar light by the cloud particles. And it is this kind of signature on the profile will allow the cloud detection and also the retrieval of their main properties. So for example, their altitude. So here we have isolated the PMC signature. And the PMC altitude is simply defined as the tangent altitude corresponding to the highest peak of this signature. And we can also heat wave the radiance for the blue photometers, for example, at the peak level. So this algorithm has been applied to all GOMOS measurements from 2002 to 2010, so for 8 years of data. And over these 8 years, more than 300,000 events have been processed, among which about 70,000 in the summertime polar region. So in the region in which we are interested in. Here you can see all the available polar mesosphere summer data. So for here are taken into account only the measurements above 50 degrees of latitude for both hemispheres, the north in blue and the south in orange. And each vertical bar corresponds to the daily number of occultations. And you can see there are some gaps in the data set, mainly due to the technical problems of the instrument. So finally, more than 21,000 Nautilus and clouds were detected thanks to this method. And it's a very rich data set for further studies. So the obtained data set can be summarized by these two plots. So on the first one here, you can see all GOMOS measurements are all plotted on the same plot as a function of time and latitude. And the blue symbols correspond represent each event where PMC was detected. And the red ones are for all the other measurements. And this kind of figure show very well the latitudinal and temporal coverage of the instrument. And on the second plot here, it's the same things, but the frequency of occurrence has been calculated. So slide number 7. You can see here the daily occurrence rate for the PMC. For each summer season observed by GOMOS, so for 8 years. And you can see that the PMC are really more numerous and appears at lower latitude in the north than in the south. So it's simply due to the fact that the southern mesopause is warmer. And we also observe a greater variability in the south. So slide 8. We can see here the effect of the solar protons events on the PMC. So in mid-January 2005, a very strong solar proton event occurred, as you can see on this plot. Which shows the proton flux, the evolution of the proton flux. And you can see here that exactly on the same day, very sudden change in the frequency of occurrence of the PMC occurred. And the frequency indeed dropped from about 95% to about 30% in only a few days. So this effect of the clouds has been explained by Becker and Fonsavini by a chain of events which shows very well the importance of the interaction between chemical, radiative, and dynamical processes in the mesosphere. So slide number 9. You can show here the obtained distribution for the PMC altitude, the peak altitude. And by looking at the mean values, we can see that we found that the cloud form slightly higher in the south than in the north. So it's consistent with other measurements. Slide 10. You can see here on the two first plots the seasonal variation of the PMC altitudes, peak altitudes. And we can see that minimum temperature is reached in the middle of the season. And we can also observe here really a greater variability in the southern hemisphere. And here we can observe the latitudinal variation for the always for the PMC altitudes. And we observe a clear linear increase towards the poles for both hemispheres. So slide 11. Here we can observe the seasonal variation, this time for the PMC radiance at the peak level. And we can observe that there is a maximum in the middle of the season. So it's a seasonal feature very similar to the those of the occurrence frequency. And we observe again more variability in the south. So slide 12. So now I will focus my talk on the PMC particle size retrieval from GOMOS data. So now I don't use the photometers of GOMOS, but the spectrometers. So a better knowledge of the particle size is really important for a correct modeling. So it's a point very important. And for this study, I use the GOMOS photometers in a wide spectral range in the visible here, from 350 to 600 nanometers. I won't have time to really detail the algorithm, but in summary, for each detected cloud after a stray light removal, I can isolate the Rayleigh spectrum taken at an altitude below the cloud signature and the PMC spectrum at the peak level. And you can see here the ratio of these two spectra from which we can easily deduce the value of the angstrom exponent. So slide 13. To obtain an estimate of the particle radius from the angstrom exponent value, we have to make some assumption on the shape of the particles and also on their distribution. So for this study, I assume the ice particles are spheroid particles with an actual ratio of 2. And I also assume that they are distributed according to a normal law with a width equal to half the radius. So actually, these assumptions are based on the results of the particle size working group. So I suppose most of you already know this group. And this particular set of assumptions was this was this particular set of assumptions which best bring various data sets into agreement. So this is why I've made this choice. And you can see here the representation of a lookup table of the angstrom exponent as a function of the geometric mean radius and the scattering angle. So these calculations were modeled by GERD with a T-matrix method. And so now, for each cloud detected, we know the angstrom exponent value and also the scattering angle. So we can easily deduce an estimate for the radius of the particle. And you can also see on this figure the angle scattering angle ranges are represented for both hemispheres in the north and in the south for the GOMOS viewing geometry. And you can see that the north corresponds to the highest scattering angle. And my original purpose in this work was to compare my results to those of the particle size working group, which work only on the northern hemisphere. And you can also see on this plot that the wheat weevil is really more uncertain in the south than in the north. So for these reasons, I will focus my work on the particle size retrieval only in the northern hemisphere for the moment. So slide 14, you can see here the obtained distribution for the mean radius. And I obtained a mean of about 30 nanometers. So these results are quite good consistency with other instruments, despite a slight underestimation. This is due to the effect of the albedo from below, because I work in the visible wavelengths. But we will see now that it still leads to very interesting results. So, for example, you can see here, so slide 15, you can see here the seasonal and latitudinal variation for the particle size. So the seasonal feature is correlated with the peak radiance seasonal feature, as expected. And you can see here that we observe a clear linear increase towards the pole for the particle size. So all these results are really consistent with what we know about the state of the mesopause region. So slide 16, so you can see here an example of one profile where I could show the altitude dependence. Sorry. The altitude dependence of the particle size. And we can observe we can observe that this sorry we can observe that the particle size decrease with altitude. So sorry. So this result is also very consistent with what we know about the formation process of this kind of clouds. Thank you. Thank you.
I want you to die.
Thank you. So I finished. So I will conclude with the outlook of this work. So there were many perspectives with this data set. So firstly, I think the most important outlook is the local time dependence of the cloud, because you have to know that contrary to the other space-borne instrument currently studying PMC, on sun-synchronous orbit, GOMOS can look at various local time and not at only two fixed local time for one latitude. And this is due to the this particularity is due to the stellar occultation technique, because the instrument can look at various stars in different pointing directions. So this unique diurnal coverage of GOMOS could really allow a deeper insight in local time dependence and a better understanding of this tidally induced variation in PMC properties is really important to study long-term trends and to compare different satellite missions. So, for the moment, we can't conclude anything from this curve, because it's just an example. But I have to take into account the influence of other sources of variability. So it's just an outlook. It's a work in progress, and I will try to obtain results about this. And there were a lot of other outlook with GOMOS. So written here, maybe one other outlook which is important, it's that the original purpose of the instrument was to measure ozone. So it provides really very accurate ozone measurements in the mesopause region at this altitude. So the obtained data set could really allow to study the link between ozone and the PMCs. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions? Mike raised just a second before you.
Yeah, I had a question about your local time coverage. That
that
histogram that you showed just before the end. Yeah. So how is this assembled? Are these local times for all latitudes
for,
or for north and south?
A latitude bound between 60 and 80 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can this is an example from 1 year, or can you collect this kind of thing every single
season? It's for all the data.
All the data together?
Yeah.
Okay, so for one given season, would you get some pattern that might look something like this? Is this representative of a single season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
GOMOS does the ozone by stellar occultation. Have you looked at the stellar occultation to retrieve PMCs also?
Yes, but it doesn't work. It's too faint, and we can't detect the cloud by stellar occultation.
Okay. You probably said this, but when you properly or fully correct for the albedo, which way do you expect your particle sizes to go, to get larger or smaller?
The effect of the albedo. So actually the albedo is due to the light from below the cloud, and it corresponds to a composite integrated over all the scattering angle. So if we would take into account the albedo in this figure, for example, we would have the curve would be like that. So we would have greater results in the north and smaller in the south. I don't know if you see what I mean, but yeah. So I think it's my underestimation is due to the albedo. Yeah.
So I had a question on your Rayleigh spectra. I forget if you could go to that plot. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Now I might be wrong, but for some reason I was expecting the Rayleigh spectra to just be a monotonic function. Yet you have all this structure. What can you comment on that?
Sorry.
50 kilometers. I mean, the Rayleigh versus wavelength should just be, it should look exactly like the cross section versus wavelength at a given altitude, because it's simply.
It's a frontal propagation. That's not the structure.
Oh, the solar spectrum. Okay.
Just a short question to the local time coverage. You showed that there's a whole of NLC observations in the morning. I'm wondering, how many observations do you have in the morning?
How many? It's about 100, but there are not many observations because it's 100, but for all observation.
Yeah.
So for one season, I have really not.
Well, if I get it right, this is the number of NLC observations. But what's the number of total observations? Is it also low in the morning?
I don't know. I could check that.
Yeah.
For all observation, even if I without PMC, I don't know, but I could check.
Yeah, and I must say that I like the result that the biggest particles are below the peak, because I still don't see any model reproducing it. But also Mark sees it in his observations, so I like that it's be real, and no one can explain it yet.
So you have 10 years?
Yeah.
Of data?
Yeah.
And you didn't measure in 2011, or you haven't analyzed it yet? Or?
I've not checked yet, but GOMOS had, in 2011, we had several technical problems. So I've maybe some data for the northern summer, but I don't think for the summer, for the south, because the instrument had big problems from last October. So I don't have the south hemisphere.
So you have almost a solar cycle. And yeah. Matt is showing that in this latest solar cycle, we didn't get as much of a response as we expected. And I'm wondering if you can look at your statistics and compare to SVV to yeah. maybe contribute to his findings.
I could look at
that. Okay, any other questions? All right, so lunch is out. We